Hey, good morning. Okay, let's pray before I share a message with you guys this morning. Heavenly Father, I just want to praise you, even though it's raining outside, but you know, you make our day beautiful because you are being with us the whole day. And this morning, I just ask you to impart your knowledge and your wisdom to me as I speak. And also, you know, a word that, you know, even maybe inadequate in me, but it will be being a seed being sown in my brother and sister. And I trust that the Holy Spirit in them will work through that in their life. And I really pray that, you know, your word will be like a double-edged sword that really cut through the bones and marrow and piercing through the heart, and so that they carry with them for the rest of their life. Thank you, God, for being with us this morning, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Hey, we are actually going through every day, like based on, you know, on the calendar, based on the Bible, that leading to the Friday, which is the Good Friday, where the crucifixion happened. So based on the Bible account, we just go through each day, how Jesus went through each day. So today we're up to a third day before the Passover. And yesterday, you know, Pastor Nish and also Pastor Sam also share about, you know, from the Mark 11, where, you know, Jesus go into Jerusalem and saw this fig tree and cursed it. And on this day, on the third day, it is being commented as one of the longest day of Jesus. It's not as if like the day be more than 24 hours. It's just like the event, other than like putting aside the crucifixion, the description of the crucifixions, that this is the most described a lot of teaching that's happening on that day. And so we're going to look at, like, you know, three. I'm going to give you an overview because I'm not going to be able to cover every single thing that is being covered, you know, in the Bible, because it's so rich. There's so many parables, there's so many events and back and forth, you know, conversation and challenges, you know, by the Pharisee, different, you know, spiritual leader at the time. So each of them actually were a study on its own. So I'm just going to give you an overview of what's happening during that day based on the three different gospels that we call it, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We call it a synoptic gospel because these three gospels actually cover, you know, almost the same incident. And so sometimes when we do a Bible study, we actually put it almost like a timeline, put it all three different Bible at the same page and looking at the different description and see, and then set out, you know, so that we can work out a chronology, basically what happened on the last days of Jesus. And on the third day, you know, we heard about, you know, yesterday that in the book of Mark, that when Jesus went into Jerusalem and saw these fig trees, and these fig trees have a lot of leaves, but when he go in and inspect the trees, they realize that doesn't have any fruit. And so basically in Mark, we recorded it as he cursed the tree and in front of all the disciples, and the disciples noticed it. And when it comes to the book of Mark now, is that the next day in the morning, when they come to that tree again, the disciple notice the trees actually die, and even like to the root itself is like totally dead, rotten. Whereas in the book of Matthew, is also recorded this same incident. It started with also, but differently is that when Jesus saw the tree, he immediately cursed it, and the tree immediately died. And that's set off the beginning of the day. In the book of Luke, although, you know, it didn't mention about the fig trees in the beginning of the day, but if we trace it back in the book of Luke, back in chapter 13, actually, Jesus talked about the same a similar parable. A parable talk about the fig trees that is useless to God, useless to the, basically the implication is if it's useless to the kingdom of God, may as well chop them away and just, you know, toss it away. And so basically that set a scene on, you see a beautiful tree growing very beautifully, but then when you have a close inspection of it, you realize it doesn't bear any fruit. And I want to highlight to you, basically, if you look at the whole day of different events that's going on the third day, it's actually a reference to the to the religious leader at the time. They can talk well, they can, you know, they can do well, pray well before people, but in their own life, in their in their heart, they're actually not really for God. They're doing it for a show. They do it so that, you know, to have the pride, like build up their own pride rather than truly worship God. And so right in the middle of, you know, all these conversations that are going on, Jesus asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? And the greater commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your might, all your will and might. And so I'm just going to quickly go through, you know, it's really a brief overview of what's happened during that day. So after the Jesus cursed the fig tree, wither and die, and then we come to an incident where, you know, some priest is questioning Jesus' authority. Who authority do you have, you know, to do all this miracle, all this, you know, speak all this thing with authority, do all this miracle? And Jesus answered with very interesting, challenging questions, as he always does throughout the Bible. If you see, he doesn't really answer you directly. He always challenges you with another questions. And here, they challenge the leader. He's like, whose authorities does John the Baptist has? Basically, the underlying of that is that, you know, if John the Baptist at the time is being respected as a prophet. So if they say that John the Baptist do not have authority to do all this, all his power or all his saying is from Satan, then it's going to cause a riot in the audience because people respect it. And so it's almost like Jesus laid down a trap questions for the leader. So basically, shut the mouth of the leaders, cannot come back. Because if they challenge John the Baptist about the authority, then the thing is, they cannot challenge John the Baptist, his authorities. So now then they cannot challenge Jesus on the same ground, because Jesus also being respected as a at the time being a great teacher and also prophet. And then it come also the next event that come in from the Bible is in Matthew 28 to 32. It talk about which son do the will of God. This is also a parable. It talk about that if your father asks a son to do a thing, the first son will say, no, I don't want to do it. And eventually he come to repentance and regret it, and he did it. And the second son will say, yes, I will do it, but end up not doing it. Again, it talk about, you know, you are talking your walk, or you're actually leaving it out. And what is most, and at the end of the day, we son do the will of God. It talk about the one that although refused to do God's will initially, but finally coming to that point, say yes, and he repented, he did it. And this is addressing to the religious authority at the time. The Pharisee do all the talking, the high priest do all the talking, but they never quite execute the will of God. Whereas you have tax collector, you have prostitute, they didn't do the will of God. Initially, they are living in sin, but they come to repentance and they follow God. And who is the son that follow God? Obviously, is referring to the prostitute and the repentant prostitute and the tax collector or the sinner at the time. And then it continued to go on, like different parables. Jesus used a parable of the vineyard about, you know, this is an implication of that Jesus would be murdered by the people. I won't go into too much detail. I think it's best for you to read through it. Basically, from it's covered like almost four chapters in the book of Matthew, from the chapter 21 to 25. And it continued to go on, and in this day, actually, Jesus go to different places. He from Mount Olive, he go to the temple, and then he went to the treasury house where he doing a comparison again. At that point, is that, you know, a rich man who donated a lot of money in front of people, or a poor widow who only have like donated the two coins, the only belonging that she had, and put it in, and who is most like. Out of the two, who is most pleased by God? And he referred to the poor widow, because the proportion that she sacrificed fully and is not doing for a show, but it really is the heart matter that come in. And continues that going on and on, and towards towards that end, that this is come to a point that this also the parable come to the poor widow, come to that point is actually the end of his public teaching. So there are times that, you know, recorded in the Bible that, you know, Jesus teach the public. But then after that particular parable, particular incident, then he go into teaching the disciple privately. And in that, the message become even more prominent. It talk about judgment. It talk about that as a Christians, at the time, no Christian yet, but we talk about, you know, the Jerusalem. There is a judgment against Jerusalem, a judgment against the Israelite for what they are, the hypocrisy that they are doing. And so there's a warning using different parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. So you're probably familiar with it, about the parable of the 10 virgins, is that 5 was like in always keeping the oil filled up and ready, waiting for the groom. That groom is a symbolize of Jesus coming again. And the 5 that, you know, just, you know, have some oil in it, half filled but not ready. And so by the time that, you know, the groom come in, only 5 virgin is ready, and the other 5 is quickly go out and try to find some oil, come back and being shut out from the door. I think this is really like a warning to us as a Christian as well. Are we ready? Because Jesus will come anytime. And if you look at the whole event, I'm not going through the whole thing, but coming to the very end of 2025, and also the other 2 gospel, a message that is being highlighted is be alert, because you never know when God is coming back. It's talking about us, are we ready to receive Jesus? If Jesus come back today, are we ready? Are we ready as the 10 virgin who always prepare on themselves and ready to receive God? Or we are just living, you know, we just like a Sunday Christians, or we call it a nominal Christian. We proclaim we believe in God, but at the same time, we're living a life that do not reflect any, you know, Christ in us. And question being asked also, you know, for those that who are living a nominal life that does not require, do not reflect like Jesus in us in our everyday life, people question, is it a true salvation too? Because they just professing with the lips. And the warning that Jesus gave to the high priest, to the Pharisee at the time, is because they're only giving the lip service. And so the implication for us Christian today is that, are we only just giving lip service to God? Are we only saying that we believe in God, His teaching is good, and then we don't turn away and do continue to live our own way? And the warning is like, you know, beginning I share about the fig tree. You look at the fig trees from far, it's green, it's blushes, and, you know, like full-grown trees. So from the surface, it's like they're professing they are Christians. But when you closely examine them, and in the Bible, it talk about Jesus actually walked to the trees. The disciple also walked to the tree to inspect the trees. And that talk about is an implication of a judgment. At the end of the day, when Jesus come, He will come and closely inspect whether you bear the fruit of the Spirit. That in the Bible, we talk about the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Do we bear that fruit of the Spirit on our trees? You know, we went through, you know, different trials and challenges and take us, you know, put us into tests whether we have those fruit to keep us going. You will have, you know, oftentimes you see, you know, people when they first become Christians, they're on fire for God and they do all this thing and professing. But then they actually, you know, as the journey continue, there will be challenging coming through that the real tests of whether they can survive. And so in a lot of time, if you look at the writing of the disciple, you talk about perseverance, keeping it on. And look at the different 9 fruit of the Spirit, talking about love, joy, peace. One thing is self-control, like faithfulness, meekness, gentleness. All this, do we have that? Do we reflect the Jesus Christ in us? And the implication is that, you know, when Jesus come and inspect, there is no fruit. Immediately, the tree was cursed. And if you look at the Bible and the different parable during the last, towards the later part of the day, Jesus keep on saying that, you know, people are being rejected. There is this parable of a wedding banquet that God invited everyone to join his wedding party. And at the end of the day, when the wedding party that's happening, and you basically they went out to invite. The parable go like that. The servant went out and invite everyone, people to come, but no one come. And so the servant went to like corner and street and call out people, come and join our wedding. And so people start attending the wedding. But at the wedding, very strangely happened. The master was like, you're not dressed for the wedding. Go away and shut them away. Basically, it's almost like an implication that, yes, we call out and evangelize, and people come and believe Christ, they believe Christ, but if you do not dress up for Christ, meaning if you do not bear fruit for Christ, you are going to be rejected on the day of judgment because you are not really truly convert, so to speak, because you're not living that life. And so then you look at that, that is pretty scary. We believe that, you know, once saved, forever saved. But at the end of the day, only God knows who is the true convert, isn't it? We can only look at people and, oh, this is beautiful victories professing Christ. But upon inspection, then we know that maybe they are not truly converted. They are just converted with the mouth. And for that, I'm not actually shutting like those who have sincere faith. Like, say, I truly believe God. I won't go into that debate, but I think the warning is that it's clear that the sign that we are at the end time and there will be a judgment time, and God is going to look at, you know, who is truly, you know, bearing fruit for him. And the other thing that I think also this passage that reminded us also towards the end, when he teaches the disciple, is be alert. There are false teachers. There are people who make you stumble. And towards the end, talk about the different sign of the end time, that the end time is coming. And keep repeating is that, you know, you will never know that when the time is coming. He's like a thief at the night coming, you know, before you are prepared. So he's asking us that be alert all the time, be prayerful. So if we look at all the synoptic gospel, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we look at towards the every part, you know, towards the end, it talk about take heed, like this is in the book of Mark, it's take heed and keep on heart, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slave in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on alert. Therefore, be on alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the morning, at midnight, or when the rooster crow, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to you all, be on alert. And in Luke 21:36, he say that, but keep on alert at all time, praying. I want to emphasize it, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things. It refer here the end time or the tribulation that happening that about to take place, and stand before the Son of Man. So one day we all stand before the Son of Man, and that is the day where Jesus closely inspect whether you truly bear the fruit of Jesus or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And also in Matthew 24, therefore, on the alert, for you do not know which day the Lord is coming. In Matthew 25:13, be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor hour where Jesus here again warning that it's a judgment time and where the king will come and judge. And to close like my sharing this morning, I want to share with you guys with someone shared with me yesterday at lunchtime. A lady I know for a long time, and she's been serving, you know, as a elder in a church. And I was talking to her, and she told me, "Oh, I left that church." And the reason that she explained to me why she left that church is that there is certain prominent church leader who is also one of the elder in the church. He very famous, you know, in the Christian circle, good public speakers, sharing, doing God's work like amazingly, representing a church and going into being invited to big conferences and speak and all this. But in fact, the whole time he's living in sin. He is having an affair with someone else. And this is a blatant sin. But yet, the church, because of, you know, the flame that, like, really condoled, like, the church is condoling him. Basically saying that, yeah, this is wrong, and he will repent and just let it pass. And end up it being affected, maybe not because the other, you know, the church people see that example, but sometimes you don't see in the spiritual atmosphere. But if a leader is corrupted, it affected the whole church. And so later on, that, you know, this elder friend of mine was discovering that even the youth is like, we go through the process, you know, we always say, you know, come clean before God. So you have to confess your sin and come clean. Yes, they confess, they say they come clean and go to the Lord's table, you know, for communion. But in fact, they're still living in sin. And so what is corrupted in the leadership also affected the body of Christ as well. It's just like what Paul had described it. You know, we, one part of the body is suffered, the rest is suffered, because the leadership in the church is people are living in sins and you and condoning it. And so as a result, she see that and she voice out, you know, this that require true repentance. But for some reason, it didn't happen in that church, so she left that church and disappointed. I want to highlight to you is like sometimes that even, you know, people around you, they are professing and, you know, doing things. We just have to be on alert, because you never know. They're a great leader. They sound great as well. But then we have to be alert that, you know, as Jesus was talking about, that is sheep and goat. We need to do the distinction. Maybe at the time we cannot tell, Jesus can. But the warning then to us is that we have to be alert too. We do not fall into that traps also. I'm sure like that leader initially did not, you know, have those sinful thought or whatever, but maybe one thing led to another and everything crumbled. And as a church, how a communion, a church or community coming together to help the brother in sin is also important, because we know that a body suffer, the rest will suffer. So this morning, I just want to, you know, share with you, because when I look at the whole day, what happened, it started off with a day about these beautiful fig trees. But close inspection, there's no fruit. And my questions also to you, I'm not trying to be, you know, really harsh, because, you know, weeks or so, we'll talk about the love. God loves us, and He knows who we are, our weaknesses, our limitations. The question come to is really about the true repentance and coming before the cross. For this week, I just ask that maybe with this morning, we can spend a bit of time really do an introspection into our life. It's like, hey, is there anything that is not pleasing to God that I need to lay it down to God? And encourage you, yes, you stumble one time or you try again, you stumble again, but God is merciful and a lot of abundance in grace. As long as like you actually try and to live out what God, you know, give the directive that God gave you. And so at this time, Eunice is going to come up, and we're just going into a time of, you know, you're spending the time that you and God really ask Him to come and look at your heart. Another interesting thing that, you know, in this parable is also talk about the fig trees. If you remember, Jesus, like, a lot of time was being described as a second Adam, redeeming the sin of Adam. And when Adam sinned, he go for the fig tree to cover himself. Whereas now, you know, for Jesus, he come in, he look at the fruit of the fig tree. It's kind of like, you know, drawing an interesting, you know, image of that. And I think the thing about the fig tree, when he going in, it's actually like a parable describing, you know, that we should bear fruit and God will come and inspect. It is a miracle too, because Jesus causes to die within one day, but in another way, we can also describe that as a prophetic act demonstrated by Jesus. What is going to happen if you don't, you know, give all yourself to God? Love God with all your heart, all your might, all your will, and everything. So, let's go before God and just really ask God to come and check our heart and see anything that is not pleasing to Him, and we just surrender that to Him. Today we're not. This week, actually, we're not going through the communion prayer. Pray for the community. We're just going to, like, you know, let you have more time spending before God, before the cross, soaking in Him, and also reflecting you know, and come to the celebrations, you know, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the end of the week. But this week, let's spend our time and just go before God. And so before I close, I just want to mention that, you know, Pastor Sam, like, hurt his neck, and apparently, like, he couldn't move his neck, and I don't know why, what happened, but we don't have the detail yet, but he's not well, and that's why he's not sharing his message today. So if we can just, you know, just spend this a little time interceding for our pastor, because he's the leader of the head leader of our church, and just really pray that, you know, if there is any scheme of the enemy come and try to, you know, disrupting, you know, our services and the message and all this, that just pray for, you know, Pastor Sam, and also pray for the leadership, because they are, as I shared earlier, the leadership is important. It affects the whole body as well. So I just want to, you know, use this time, pray for, ask you to intercede for Pastor Sam for, you know, recovery and also protection over our leaders. Dear Lord Jesus, I just want to lift up, you know, every single one of us here and every single member in our church, Lord. I want to lift up SP, God, that you make us a tree that bear a lot of fruit, that can feed the multitude, that can bless the community in Hong Kong, that we truly live a life that we can profess that we are Christians, we are the follower of Christ. God, that, you know, this journey is might full of challenges and difficulties, and you know, even you know, doing you use those to, you know, help us grow stronger in you. And I pray that, you know, my brother and sister will stand firm, you know, in this battleground that you have put us in, and we believe that, you know, the banner of God is over Hong Kong, the banner of God is over SP, and you are our King, you are our Lord God. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, I just ask that, you know, as my brother and sister continue to soak in your presence, you view yourself more to them, God. And I really pray that, you know, every word of the God is a delight to their heart. When they read your word, they are recharged, and their heart is filled with joy and love that is coming from you, God. I pray that, you know, our church will be a loving church that, you know, shine for you at the, you know, the top of the hill, and not under under bed or anything, being covered by it, God. So continue to guide us and bless my brother and sister for the rest of the day, God. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So have a good day.